This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from Brian Lowe Financial. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from The Advocate, is with us, as he is on most Thursdays. And we're getting close to inauguration now. It is December 5, which means in 39 days, we'll be inaugurating a new governor of Louisiana. And on that same day, there is the NCAA football championship game in New Orleans, and many believe LSU will be playing somebody for the national title. And Mark Ballard, the Capitol wheels are churning about who will be in charge in the Senate and in the House, and it looks like some of that is known at this point.
Well, at least, yeah, at least some of the leaks are coming out that the first Senate president, apparently, you have to put the caveat in there that it may not take place because they haven't actually taken the vote yet, that it'll be Paige Cortez, who is the chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee. He's from Lafayette. He sells furniture over in Lafayette, and he's got the majority of the senators on board in what was had been a fight between Rick Ward III from Port Allen and Sharon Hewitt from Slidell, representing opposite ends of the political spectrum. And Paige Cortez is kind of in the middle of that. So that's what we know so far about the president's race in the Senate. And the House is still open, and it's down to basically Sherman Mack, representing the conservative wing. He's is chairman of the criminal justice committee in the House and is very conservative and supported by the conservatives. And then you have this kind of like Stuart Bishop, also from Lafayette, and the head of the environmental committees is kind of coalesced to having the moderates. You also have the House Minority Leader Lance Harris involved in it. You have some of the younger people, I mean, going into their second term, who are also kind of aiming at it. And then you have Clay Schexnider from Gonzales as kind of the moderate candidate in there. But that's probably not going to sort itself out for another couple of weeks.
And as we know, last time it was on Inauguration Day that the battle between Taylor Barra and Walt Leger was resolved just minutes before the governor took office.
And that deal had kind of come down the night before, as the Republicans all had kind of gathered at the Capitol Hilton and said, you know, this is what we want to plan to do, and Taylor Barra, as the speaker, was kind of a consensus candidate, you know, that he was good for both sides, you know, or acceptable to both sides anyway.
Well, a listener notes that Stuart Bishop, who some believe will be the Speaker of the House, the Republican from Lafayette, that he and Norby Chabert got into an altercation, a fist fight at 1 o'clock in the morning at the River Room, described in The Advocate. I've just pulled up the story, Mark, not by you, but by another reporter, as, quote, a posh cocktail lounge. Now, I have been to the River Bar. It's a nice place, but I don't know that I would call it posh. But Stuart Bishop obviously has shown a propensity for fistic encounters.
I have not been to the River Room or many bars for that matter. So I just had to accept the reporter's description as posh. So remember, we're reporters, so posh is a pretty low level for us anyway. But yeah, I have a feeling that fight is going to follow him around, whether he makes it to speaker or not. But I imagine that it will find itself very high in many stories.
Yes. A listener notes that Smiley Anders probably has been to the River Room.
and probably so.
Probably a few other establishments of that kind in downtown Baton Rouge. But Mark Ballard, he may not spend a lot of time in bar rooms, but he certainly spends much of his time outside the newsroom. People don't realize that you're arguably the top reporter in the state. You also have management responsibilities, but you probably spend very little time in the actual Advocate headquarters.
No, that is true. I go over three or four times, usually on orders, get over here, we need you. And I don't really go over to Riga Road that often.
Okay. Nationally, the focus is on Washington, and it looks like the impeachment proceedings are going to pick up steam, and there may actually be a vote before Christmas, and Christmas is 20 days away. And in the U.S. House of Representatives, I would say it's almost a given the vote will be 5-1 not to impeach President Donald John Trump. Do you kind of have that feeling too, Mark Bauer?
Well, I don't know how to read it all. I mean, you have the House Speaker, who was pretty much against doing this in the beginning, saying, we have no choice but to vote to impeach, and I just don't know. I mean, how this is going to come out. They were looking for a smoking gun, and the smoking gun was apparent from the moment that he released the transcript. There's not been much change on it. And then you also have to work into the fact that, this time next year, he will either be voted in or out. The people of the country will have had their chance to weigh in on the issue. So, I'm confused by it. On the one hand, Congress has to protect its legal authorities, and on the other hand, we're going to be voting in a year. So.
Well, Graves, Scalise, Higgins, Johnson, Abraham are going to vote to protect the president, and of course, Cedric Richmond is going to vote the other way. And in the Senate, I think we know that if it gets there, and it probably will, that John Kennedy and Bill Cassidy will vote not to convict the president. And Kennedy has apparently become, along with Lindsey Graham, the foremost Senate defender of the president of the United States, and he seems to be relishing this role, Mark Bauer.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how that's going to work on a long-term, basis for him. Right now it is apparent for Louisiana, which is very supportive of the president, that's a smart, intelligent position to take. And certainly, as we known over the last 16 years before he went to the U.S. Senate, that John Neely Kennedy has a way with words and can and is certainly very quotable. The national media is learning that now, and I think that it's not surprising that he's taken a front row position there. But I'm wondering, down the road, how, as the pendulums change, how that's going to help him or not help him.
Gustavo and Goodwood, our dear friend, says people like you, Mark Bauer, Lamar White, Dan Moldea, Keith Olbermann, Michelle Martin should be the ones impeached for treason and disrespect for the office of the president and dividing our country by spreading hatred and falsehood. Mark?
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
That is true, and we love Gustavo. Please keep the emails and the phone calls coming, Gustavo, in Goodwood. And Mark Ballard, John Kennedy is up for re-election in 2022, and then next year, less than 11 months away, Bill Cassidy is on the ballot. There is one candidate, Antoine Pierce, who is announced, but he has been on this program and acknowledged he has very few resources. We've talked before, and it looks like Bill Cassidy may get what amounts to a free ride in his reelection quest.
That may be the case. I mean, it's been noted several times that the Democrats do not have a very strong bench. Who is going to run against them? And I can't think of it, too many names. Maybe you have an idea, but I can't think of too many names. It could be. But on the other hand, we're talking about a year away. There could be significant changes in the political horizons that impact Senator Cassidy's run for reelection.
Phil in Jefferson. Good morning, Phil. You're on with Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. And, this impeachment thing, this is history. I mean, people are going to look back and say, where were you and what did you do? And I want every Republican to have to stand up there and have this vote and have it marked or on their record. This is so sad that here we are and that these people are still going to protect this man. Thanks.
All right. Now, very few people remember how Congress voted in 1998. There were four articles of impeachment. I remember Billy Tozan, for example. He split the baby. He voted for two and against two, and only two went to the Senate, and Bill Clinton, they couldn't even get a majority on either of the two in the U.S. Senate. And it may be the same with President Trump. So will history view these people who vote with the president unkindly if, let's say, more information comes forward that this has been a corrupt presidency?
Well, yeah, and I think that's a history would, and a more immediate history than, you know, and down the road, will we remember, you know, I don't know, Garrett Graves being so supportive or Steve Scalise being so supportive of President Trump? I mean, should the history go that way? I mean, will we remember that much? But they might remember it in next election or the election after that. You know, that's I guess that's the issue.
Well, Mark Ballard, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll be calling again next Thursday and let you get back to work wherever the winds take you. And Mark is here, there, and everywhere, but as you just heard, very unlikely to find him in the River Room where Stuart Bishop has been known to get feisty. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Take care.